Salofalava, this is Pacific Waves from RNZ Pacific. I'm Susana Swiswiki. Coming up.
11 Pacific Islands, Samoa is here, Tonga, Cook Island, but we also have the representatives of Tuvalu here.
Pacific leaders stand in solidarity with Māoridom to pay their respects to Kingi Tuheitia. Also,
the demand for Starlink has been quite high, similar to many other countries in the region.
Starlink promises faster internet for the Pacific, and the Flying Fijians and Tonga's Ikaletahi rugby team mark a special milestone. Leaders of Pacific communities in New Zealand and abroad stood in solidarity today as they joined with former New Zealand Prime Ministers and leaders paying their respects to Kingi Tuheitia. The Pacific Leaders Forum contingent, representing over 11 countries, stood on the marae at Tauranga Waiwai only a week ago, celebrating 18 years of the Māori King's reign. Grace Fever-Ai was there and has the story.
It wasn't all tears and sorrow, but also a lot of smiles and joy, as well as over 200 Pacific people congregated onto the marae at Tauranga Waiwai to pay their respects to the life and legacy of Kingi Tuheitia and his whānau. The leader of the Pacific Leadership Forum, Tele A. Edwin Pony, brought the Pacific contingent a week ago to Kingi Tuheitia's 18th koroneihana. This time, he's bringing them to pay their respects before he is laid to rest.
11 Pacific Islands, Samoa is here, Tonga, Cook Island, but we also have the representatives of Tuvalu here, the Solomon Islands, Vanuatu. But with us in spirit, we bring the condolences of Fiji, Niue, Tuvalu, Kiribati, and of course we support the call of the King for unity, but we also embrace diversity.
Rahui Papa, a spokesperson for Kingitanga, said it was very important to see Pacific representation here today.
Throughout the life of the Kingitanga, and especially with Kingi Tuheitia, he embraced his cousins of the Pacific, the Ariki families and the various ones. It has been like a close family relationship with almost every island of the Pacific, and it was wonderful last week to see the outpouring of aroha that came to the koroneihana, and then again to see it throughout the tangi process.
Youngsters Alicia Murgatroyd, who is the Vanuatu Youth Delegate, said the event was a powerful symbol of unity.
Especially in these times, I feel like there's a lot of things going on that could polarise people. And so having Pacifica, Māori, Pākehā all united in one space is a really special thing to have. And it's evident here today just looking around all the different communities being represented.
But it's the Whaiers who are running behind the scenes to make sure everything runs smoothly. Kuini Ngātaki is working together with the Māori wardens and her team is up at 5 a.m. every morning.
Just really coordinating our whānau today, and we've got some Mani o Poto whānau here, and we've also got Tani Wharau whānau here as well. Just helping with the crowd control, and we're just working in conjunction with the Māori wardens and also the Prihimana.
One whose presence was unmissable was leader of the Labour Party, Christopher Hipkins, and the Labour Caucus.
Hipkins said Kingi Tuheitia's dedication to kotahitanga brought people together.
Kingi Tuheitia was very much focused on kotahitanga, so bringing people together, fostering unity, and that included unity amongst all of the peoples of Aotearoa New Zealand. So I know that he was focused on bringing Pākehā and Māori together, but also bringing Pacifica and other migrant New Zealanders into that as well, and making sure that, you know, there was a place for everybody, that everybody felt welcomed, everybody felt included.
Also present was former Prime Minister Helen Clark, also paying her respects. She said it was great to see Pacific people here today.
And I think everyone comes out of respect for the King, for the life of service he led as King. He stepped into the role unexpectedly and then dedicated himself to it. People have enormous respect for that, and it's wonderful to see it coming from the Pacific and from all quarters of the community.
Tomorrow is the final day of Kingi Tuheitia's tangihanga. It will also be when the public get to find out who was next in line to take the throne.
Papua New Guinea is preparing to roll out the red carpet for the Pope's arrival on Friday night. As part of an 11-day multi-country papal trip, the Pope will visit the PNG capital, Port Moresby and Vanimo from September 6th to 9th. About 30% or 30 million people in PNG are Catholic. Already, more than 37,000 people have registered to attend Mass, and there's a major focus on giving unemployed youth hope. Chairman of the organising committee, Bishop Rosario Menezes, told Alicia Foon the Pope is expected to meet PNG's Prime Minister James Marape, thousands of street children, bishops and priests, as well as Pacific leaders.
People are very much excited. I am just coming from the stadium. They were practicing for Sunday's Mass, and the stadium is already half full. There were so many people. Everybody wants to be involved in one way or the other. There is a lot of excitement, not only here in capital city Port Moresby, but also in all the dioceses. The pilgrims, the faithful, they have started their journey from all the different dioceses to come to Port Moresby. Some are going to Vanimo, those who are closer to Vanimo, but most of the faithful are traveling to Port Moresby. There is a lot of excitement. The streets have been decorated, and I think we are very much looking forward to roll the red carpet for His Holiness Pope Francis.
It sounds like it, absolutely. Tell me, when does the Pope arrive? And can you walk me through what the welcome ceremony and his time there will be like?
Okay, the Pope is arriving Papua New Guinea on Friday, 6th of September, around 7:15. And then the Defence Force is organising an official welcome at the airport. There is a 21-gun salute from the Defence Force, and there is the singing of national anthems and exchange of introducing the protocol and the guests from Vatican, as well as the ministers here in Papua New Guinea. So that will be a short ceremony at the airport. We have a international APEC terminal, which is newly built during the APEC meeting here in Port Moresby. So all the ceremony will be taking place at that place. And then on Friday, after the welcoming ceremony, Pope Francis will go to the Nunciature, where his official residence. He will stay in the Nunciature for the duration of the time that he is here in Papua New Guinea. On Saturday, he has the first engagement to go to the government house to meet the Governor General, and then they have a few minutes of talk, private conversation. They exchange gifts, and the Governor General will introduce his family to Pope Francis. And then from there, Pope Francis will be taken to APEC House, the place which was built for the APEC summit. Pope Francis is supposed to meet all the dignitaries, the politicians, the leaders in the civil society, diplomatic corps, businessmen and women, and then a few people from the church side as well. There are about 300 to 400 people will gather at the APEC House, where Pope Francis is expected to give a message to the whole country and the whole world. And we have more than 80 journalists from different countries, different organizations. So they're all, some of them have already arrived. Some are coming from the papal entourage. So after this APEC meeting, during the meeting, there is also a side meeting with a few minutes with the leaders of the Pacific countries. Our Prime Minister James Marape, he has invited some of the leaders from the Pacific countries. So they will, I think 4 or 5 of them have already confirmed their presence. So he will have a short meeting with these leaders from the Pacific countries. And then that will conclude. And then, of course, Bachemano, the shake hands with some of the people who are present there. We have a special meeting we call Youth Festival as a concluding program on Monday. So this is all with the youth. They are preparing. We have registered about 17,000 to 18,000 youth for this program. I think, but the stadium will be full. So specifically to give importance to youth, because you know the Catholic population in Papua New Guinea, or the general population in Papua New Guinea, is very young. We have more young people than anywhere else, I think.
Will you meet the Pope?
Yes, I am part of, they call entourage, papal entourage. So we will be there at the airport to welcome him. So I will certainly meet him, yes. This will be my sixth time meeting the Pope Francis. Every time I meet him, I thank him for his leadership and inspiration, especially his own life itself is a witness to the gospel. What he preaches, he practices, or what he practices, he preaches. I want to especially thank him for making this effort. He's 87, turning close to 88, having health issues, but still taking, at this age, this longest trip to Asia and Oceania. So this is really shows that as he was talking about peripheries from the beginning of his papacy, I think he's showing in his in action that he really cares about the peripheries. And also one thing I meant, forgot to mention, he's going to a small town called Vanimo.
Yes, tell me about that.
Town, yes, there, it is a town closer to Jayapura, the border with Indonesia and Papua New Guinea. So he's going there. I think he will be the only Pope who will be going to Vanimo. For us, while organizing this trip, that was the most difficult part to organize in terms of security, in terms of logistics, that was difficult. But now people are all helping. The local government also is very much involved. So that's why this trip was able, we were able to organize this trip.
Meanwhile, people are being warned about ongoing fuel shortages in PNG, which may disrupt domestic travel, including air travel at short notice. The last visit of a pope to Papua New Guinea was John Paul II in 1995. Starlink is now in the last stages of getting operation licenses across the Pacific. It comes off the back of people sneaking in units illegally from New Zealand and Australia. The company, through thousands of satellites, promises to deliver fast internet to remote locations. Caleb Fotheringham has more.
Earlier in the year, workers in some Pacific Island nations were told to be on guard for illegal Starlink equipment being smuggled. Now times are changing. Starlink has been given an operation license in both Solomon Islands and the Cook Islands. Samoa's telecommunications regulator, Giza Fuatai Purcell, says the license is expected to be approved by Cabinet any day now.
There was never a doubt for Samoa or for me as a regulator not to approve SpaceX license. They sent everything, we did the review, but there were a few issues that I had raised.
Solomon Islands Telecommunications Commissioner Calvin Zuru says consumers have been anxiously awaiting news of the license. He says it's taken about 2 years to happen.
This is a major development and the potential for development in terms of the telecommunications sector for Solomon Islands, and we wanted to make the right decision. There's still a lot to unpackage and to assess and examine.
Mr. Zero says Solomon Islands is one of the most expensive places in the world for internet.
The demand for Starlink has been quite high, similar to many other countries in the region. We've already had numerous units being brought in bulk and as well as individually into the country where people are connected to Starlink on roaming.
Cook Islands Telecommunications Regulator Chair Bernard Hill says Starlink plans to allow people to buy the product online and have localised pricing. Prior, the Cook Islands allowed users to roam from New Zealand and Australia through what it called a transitional licence.
There's a significant number, I don't know what the number is in any kind of absolute terms, but there's several hundred of them here. And I would think it's making a bit of a dent in Vodafone's subscriber base for fixed broadband, that's for sure.
Mr. Hill says all Pacific nations have a goal of transforming digitally, and the new internet player will help bring competition.
Everybody's got some plan in place, these are the Pacific countries, for significant digital transformation, which is the sort of buzzword people are using. Growing their connectivity, growing their capability in IT to provide better public services and grow their local economy.
In an email last month to Starlink customers in various locations around the world, including Samoa and Solomon Islands, the company said Starlink users outside the country where they ordered the product would not be able to connect to the internet. Mr. Zuru says it relates to many Solomon Islands units. He says they will no longer be able to roam, but will be able to connect to the local service.
When Starlink announced that they were going to switch off their services to countries that are unlicensed, we weren't entirely fazed by that particular announcement. I think it allowed us to just put ourselves in a position where we were able to say that, yes, the licensing is actually quite critical and that compliance will need to be done.
RNZ Pacific reached out to Starlink for comment but did not get a response.
This week's Pacific Nations Cup clash is a special one for Fiji and Tonga, as it will be their 95th test match, marking 100 years of rugby between the Flying Fijians and the Ikaletahi. The match in Nuku'alofa on Friday is also an important one for the competition, with the winner to advance to the semi-finals of the Pacific Nations Cup series in Tokyo. Elisa Tora has the story.
As the teams prepare for the main event of the centennial celebrations in Nuku'alofa, both Fijians in Tonga and the Tonga Rugby Union are anticipating a thriller. TRU Chief Executive Officer Aisea Aholele says the Pacific Nations Cup rugby battle is a key event they are looking forward to.
Obviously, it's a big occasion for Tonga. It's the 100th celebrations for the game against Fiji. And also, the Flying Fijians haven't been here since almost 7 years, I think. And to have a Tier 1 nation here, Tonga, in itself is massive. Not only that, but the closeness of the two nations in historically through culture. I'm sure that everybody will turn up for this game.
There are close to 400 Fijians in Tonga expected to flock to Te Whaiva Park on Friday afternoon to support their national team, which has not played in the kingdom since 2017. Fijian Community President Choki Nisivo says they are set to go.
The atmosphere within the Fijian community here in Tonga, it's a mix of excitement and anticipation as the big games approaches for this Friday. Because rugby holds a special place in our heart, especially the Pacific Islanders. And major games like this has a significant effect on us.
The community were preparing to welcome the team in the traditional Fijian way by offering a sevu-sevu and have printed specially made T-shirts they can wear for the game.
Given the strong cultural and historical ties between Fiji and Tonga, the Fijian community in Tonga will be relaying together total support on their team to organise and view the parties wearing the traditional Fijian attire. And perhaps we are even engaging with our prayers and also some cultural ceremonies to help and to be with the team.
Sivo, who is married to a local teacher from the island of Hapai, says it will be a tough clash and hard to call, obviously divided in his loyalty between his and his wife's countries.
As for the game itself, it is expected to be highly competitive, given the passion for both teams bring in the field. The outcome could go either way. The Fijian team is known for their flair and agility, which could give them the edge.
Aisea Aholele says the Flying Fijians will start off as favourites as the new look Ikaletahi continue to build their game with new players under a new coaching team.
Look, we can only, you know, take things by what's happened in the past and past results. Obviously, from our side of things, that the Ikaletahi are a new team, the new staff. Things have been rough. The results haven't gone their way. Obviously, they're trying to close gaps and make sure that fundamentals both on and off the field are covered before, you know, expecting any big results.
The two teams will kick off their battle at 3 p.m. Tonga time in front of what is expected to be a vocal and packed Te Whaiva crowd. Tonga's Crown Prince Te Pou To'a is expected to make an appearance at the game.
That's Pacific Waves for today. For all episodes, head over to rnz.co.nz/Pacific. We're also on Spotify, Apple and iHeartRadio. From myself and the RNZ Pacific team, Tofa Suifua.